most industrialized countries have responded to the coronavirus outbreak with a national testing program. The United States hasn't, opting instead to let states handle testing operations on their own. Many public health experts say that that's hampered our ability to get the COVID-19 pandemic under control. New reporting shows that a group working under White House advisor Jared Kushner did put together an outline of a national testing program during March and April. For reasons that aren't entirely clear, that idea was never put into place. Catherine Eben is an investigative journalist and a contributing editor at Vanity Fair. She's the author of the book Bottle of Lies, The Inside Story of the Generic Drug Boom. Catherine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be on with you. Thank you.
Well, there's that compare and contrast. A lot of countries did, most countries in the industrial world did have a national program. We didn't. What is the advantage when you talk to public health experts of having a nationwide testing policy?
Yeah, it was very clear to sort of every public health expert that a plan would be absolutely required. I mean, if you want to scale up testing, have adequate amount of supplies, have adequate amount of testing sites, and get results back in a rapid way, and then trace the contacts of people who test positive, there is a lot of coordination that needs to happen. This is not just a state-by-state issue, but the problem was, even though, as I uncovered, a national testing plan was developed by a team assembled by Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, that plan was actually killed.
Right. We had that big press conference where there was talk of, you know, Google making up this screening thing, and we're going to have testing in lots of, you know, parking lots of businesses and things like that. It never materialized. I want to dive into that plan, though, that you write about from Jared Kushner, presidential advisor and son-in-law. Who was on this team that he pulled together?
Well, you know, when he first assembled this team to, quote unquote, solve the diagnostic testing crisis, the group that he assembled didn't actually have any experience with diagnostic testing. It was his associates. It was a college roommate. It was a Morgan Stanley banker. And that group began reaching out to various billionaires who also did not have diagnostic testing experience. What changed it was that the group then reached out to diagnostic testing experts, and together they hammered out a comprehensive national plan. And what that would have done was surge supplies and help allocate those supplies, as well as allocating lab capacity, right? What we're seeing right now is people are waiting over 7 days for test results, which makes the tests useless. This plan would have solved that, and it essentially resembles the kind of testing plan that most industrialized nations have set up, especially the countries that have flattened their curves. They have nationalized testing plans.
And you heard from some people involved in this that they thought this plan was going to be the plan, right? They thought they were creating something that ultimately the president was going to sign off on and put into place.
Absolutely. They were basically told that it was a go. They were expecting an announcement. And then, as one participant said to me, the plan just went poof into thin air.
What do we know about what happened, why the federal plan was scrapped, and why it went to a state plan with maybe some backstop from the feds?
Right. So our understanding from the reporting is that this plan, which was supposed to be announced in early April, essentially hit shifting sentiment at the White House. There was a belief, which was erroneous, that the virus was on its way out. It was subsiding. There was an assumption that this plan was going to be a huge effort to stand up. And at that point, the virus was pretty much just affecting the blue states. And so there was a sense that a national plan, number one, would not have political resonance. And that also it wasn't required because as a political solution to the problem, they could just blame Democratic governors and leave it at that. And of course, it was a gamble that worked out very badly. because now we're seeing the virus is rampant in the red states. And we've all seen the images this summer of miles-long lines of cars waiting in the heat, people trying to get tested, can't get tested, can't get results. And that presumably is what this plan would have solved.
We're talking to Catherine Eben from Vanity Fair, a piece she wrote about an effort led by Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, to create a federal testing program in the earlier days of the COVID-19 pandemic. The plan ultimately scrapped. She looked into some of the reasons behind that. Catherine, you reached out to a White House spokesperson for comment. What kind of things did you hear back?
Well, the White House's response has been that the piece is completely false, that it is based on, you know, erroneous assumptions. So they've, you know, tried to push back against the story pretty hard. But, you know, there isn't anything that they have elaborated on that explains, you know, we obtained a copy of the plan. We obtained a copy of an invoice of testing kits that were ordered by the White House and then turned out to be contaminated and unusable. And these were testing kits that were shipped from the United Arab Emirates. So, you know, nothing in their comment sort of explains any of that.
I want to dig into that strange load of testing supplies from the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
First of all, you have a copy of this invoice that actually raises a lot more questions than it answers. What are some of the mysteries just found in this one piece of paper?
Yeah, I mean, this is really a striking invoice. And it was, you know, when I obtained it, I was really confounded. The company, Cogna Technology Solutions, is a subsidiary of a sort of shadowy artificial intelligence company from the United Arab Emirates, which has close ties to the ruling family. The test kits are Chinese-made diagnostic test kits that they ordered on behalf of the White House. These testing kits were shipped to the embassy of the United Arab Emirates. And then what happened next is really interesting because there was no legitimate contract for these. There was just this, you know, invoice with client name WH, the White House. And actually, the tests couldn't even be paid for because they were procured inappropriately. And they turned out to be contaminated. And an FDA spokesperson said to me that it may be because they were shipped from the Middle East and the reagents in the test kits were not kept cold, which they have to be. So, I mean, this was just sort of, you know, a blunder on top of a, you know, a mystery as to what happened to this plan and why it vanished.
Now, in the absence of a directed federal testing program, you write that some nonprofit groups and public health people outside of the federal system are trying to step up and take the place. What are we seeing out there?
Yeah. So the Rockefeller Foundation has stepped up with real urgency. They are trying to build a coalition of cities and states and tribal nations to get the United States to 30 million tests a week by the fall. And basically what they say is the only way to safely reopen schools and reopen the economy is to have incredibly widespread testing with rapid results. You know, the logic is you can't fight what you don't see. And so if we are to know where outbreaks are, we need access to these tests, because if you don't have access to them, your only remedy is a blunt instrument of shutdowns, right? But you could be much more targeted about that if you actually knew where the outbreaks were.
We've seen testing numbers go up in the United States. Did I just hear you say the 30 million tests a week would be their target?
That is their target. That's right, for the fall, for October.
I'm looking at the CDC. I'm looking at the CDC webpage. We've had just shy of 53 million tests through all of this. So that would be a huge ramp up.
It's a huge ramp up. We are right now at about 5.5 million tests a week. And, you know, let me say one other thing about this, which is President Trump is always touting the sheer number of tests. So America does do a lot of tests. But the issue is not just the number of tests. It's what you do with those tests. How quickly do the results come back, right? The test, the purpose of the test is to get information you can act on. So in countries where they've been very successful in doing testing, like South Korea, they're returning results within 24 hours. Then they have a system of contact tracing and a system of supportive quarantine or isolation where they do food drop-offs for people who are quarantined. You know, so it's not just the fact of a test. It's the turnaround time for the tests and what you do when you get a positive result.
As we wrap up, when you talk to experts about our current state-by-state approach in effect, so what are their concerns about that in the months to come?
I mean, as one expert said to me, the diagnostic testing industry is this loosely constructed web, and COVID-19 is a stage 5 hurricane. And, you know, what they're anticipating actually is that the fall is possibly or likely going to be even worse than the spring, because that's when you have school reopenings. That's when you have flu season. How are we going to distinguish between the flu and COVID-19, right? If you don't have any way to do that through testing, then all you have is shutdowns. So there is a lot of concern around that.
Catherine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Catherine Eben is an investigative journalist and a contributing editor at Vanity Fair. She talked with us about her latest story detailing a national testing plan from a team led by White House advisor Jared Kushner, an idea that ultimately disappeared.